Hi, good morning everybody. Thanks for coming. Before we start today, don't forget that if you go to my homepage, stephenaskew.com, the link's in the description below, you can download the script for this talk, an MP3 of the audio, and some listening questions and sample answers for all of them. Give it a go, see how you do. Okay, today I want to talk to you about chocolate. Who likes chocolate? Everyone that likes chocolate, raise your hands. I love chocolate. Where does chocolate come from? Well, first, where does the word chocolate come from? The etymology of chocolate. Chocolate, the word in English, comes originally from the Spanish language. In about 1600, it came into English. But how did it come into the Spanish language? Well, of course, it came from South America. It came into Spanish from the Aztec people. The Aztecs used to call chocolate chocolati. Not sure if that's the right pronunciation, probably not. Chocolati means beaten drink. And the word chicoli refers to a stick, a specially carved and shaped stick that was almost like a wooden whisk. And this whisk was used for beating the chocolate drink. So beaten drink, chicoli, became chocolati, which became chocolate, which is what we have today. Okay, so how do you get chocolate? Well, chocolate, of course, grows on a tree, the same as coffee does. It starts in a pod. You take the pod off and you open up the pod and it's full of beans. Now these beans originally are too bitter. You have to leave them to ferment for a few days, 2 or 3 days. When they ferment, they release their own sugars and they become a little less bitter. They don't become sweet, they just become a little bit less bitter. Then you take these cacao beans and you spread them out and you dry them in the sun and then you roast them. Roasting is the same as with coffee, it releases some of the hidden flavors. After you've roasted them, you then have to husk them. The husk is the outer part of the bean. You take the husk off and you're left with what's called the nib, the cacao nib. Then you grind down these nibs. Well, modern days we use machines, of course, but in ancient times they used to use a pestle and mortar and they'd grind down the beans. And then you melt the powder, you heat it over a fire, you melt down the powder and you get liquid cacao, which you can then drink. Now, of course, if you've ever tried pure cacao, it's extremely bitter. So when the people used to drink liquid cacao, they would mix it with either honey or chili or vanilla. I've tried honey and vanilla, but I've never ever tried a chili hot chocolate. It's probably quite nice, but I'm not sure that I want to try it. Okay, so if cacao is so bitter, why do we drink it? Well, coffee is pretty bitter, but we drink that because of the effects it has on our brain. And chocolate is exactly the same. Chocolate has many chemicals inside it. And when you eat chocolate, these chemicals are released into your body. Now, three of these, let me see if I can pronounce these right. The first one is phenylethylamine. The second one is serotonin. And the third one is anandamide. Now, what these three chemicals do, well, the first one is called the love chemical. It releases chemicals in your brain that are very similar to the chemicals that are released when you fall in love with somebody. So when you eat chocolate, you're basically falling in love. Now these three chemicals, they release dopamine and they release endorphins in your brains. These are the pleasure chemicals. So when you eat chocolate, these pleasure chemicals are released in your brain and you feel pretty good. Now you could say that chocolate is a drug. Some people do get addicted to chocolate. But these days, because there is so much sugar in the chocolate, they're not really becoming addicted to the cacao itself, but the chocolate. Okay, so we talked about the etymology of chocolate. Where does chocolate itself come from? Well, in South America, well, what is now Mexico, there were a group of people called the Mocaya people. And archaeological digs have found cups and bowls and plates from about 1900 BC, which is almost 4,000 years ago, that have traces of cacao on them. So people have been drinking cacao for almost 4,000 years. It could go back even beyond that, we don't know, but the earliest traces of cacao we found are from 1900 BC. So the Mocaya people slowly got taken over and absorbed by different tribes, different groups, and finally you get the Aztec Empire, which was about 1300 to 15 21-ish. Now, the Aztecs, they lived in higher areas of the Mexico, well, what is now Mexico. And of course, cacao grows in the hotter, lower places. So they couldn't grow cacao where they lived, so they had to import it. Now, once you start importing a crop, any crop, of course, the price increases. Now, cacao became a luxury drink. People with money used to drink it. And at one point, cacao beans were used as a currency. 100 cacao beans would buy you a turkey. 3 cacao beans would buy you an avocado. So these beans were used as a type of currency. Then, of course, 1521, about 1521, what happens? The Spanish come to Mexico, to South America. And that begins the destruction of the Aztec Empire, of those peoples. Two people that came from Spain are, of course, Columbus, Christopher Columbus, and Hernando Cortes. And both of these people were very involved in the destruction of the westernization of the South American cultures, which ultimately led to their demise. However, Columbus was the first European to bring cacao beans back to Europe. He never actually tried them himself. He captured a boat that had cacao beans on it. And because they saw that cacao beans were a luxury, they were interested in them and they took them back to Spain. The first Spanish person to actually try chocolate, cacao, is probably Hernando Cortes. He probably tried the drink first. Anyway, the beans were brought back to Spain. In the beginning, they were not that popular, but they slowly took on and became more popular. And of course, they were drunk as a drink. From about 1528 in Spain through until 1650 in England, the drinking of cacao, chocolate, slowly spread. And you get the growth of chocolate shops. Of course, we have the coffee shop industry developing at the same time, but now we also have cacao shops, which are shops devoted to serving chocolate. Now, as this starts to gain popularity, as it starts to take hold, of course, people want to make money off this. They want to make cacao beans closer to home. They want to make cacao beans that they can import more easily. Of course, at that time, England is slowly colonizing the whole world. One of the parts of my history I'm not so proud of. England is starting to colonize a lot of Africa. Now, in Africa, you have access to a large amount of land. You have a very warm climate. And of course, you have slaves. So what they started to do is they started to grow cacao, chocolate, in Africa. And these days, the largest chocolate-producing countries are in Africa. That's thanks to England, I suppose. Anyway, so chocolate spreads across Europe. It's still a drink. From 1900 BC, people have been drinking cacao. People continue drinking chocolate. Up until a few innovations after the Industrial Revolution. There are 4 people who are instrumental in bringing the chocolate that we have today to us. The first of these people is a Dutchman called Conrad van Houten. Now, he did 2 things. The first thing he did in 1815, he introduced alkaline salts to the chocolate. What that does is it reduces the acidity of the chocolate. It reduces the bitterness. It makes chocolate a lot more palatable to us. The second thing he did in 1828, he introduced or he invented a press, a fat removal press. If you can remove most of the fat from cacao beans, you can make it cheaper and you can also make a more consistent product. So those are the 2 things he did. You can buy Van Houten chocolate in most places around the world at the moment. The second person is a man called Joseph Fry. Fry's chocolate is huge in England, not so much in the rest of the world, but you can buy it all across England. Now what he did is, he took the cacao butter, Van Houten removes the fat and that becomes cacao butter. Fry took the cacao butter that had been removed from the beans and he put it back into the chocolate. What does that do? Well, it makes the chocolate moldable. You can now fill shapes with this chocolate. You can make the chocolate into different shapes. Okay, so now we have a less bitter chocolate that is shapeable, moldable. Now, the next 2 people are somebody called Daniel Peter, who you may never heard of, and someone called Henry Nestle, who you may have heard of. Now, Nestle, he wasn't in the food industry. Nestle now, they own hundreds of companies, a huge multinational corporation. But back at the time, Nestle, he was primarily involved in baby supplies and baby food. He had just invented a process of powdering milk. Now, Daniel Peter, he comes up with the great idea of putting milk into the chocolate. But of course, you cannot put liquid milk into the chocolate because the chocolate then won't set. He turns around, Nestle, you're making powdered milk. And they put the powdered milk into the chocolate, thereby making milk chocolate. They then go on to form the Nestle Corporation. Nestle's name is now huge in the world of chocolate. Kit Kats, of course, are made by Nestle. Okay, so after them, we have a few more changes. People put in more sugar, more and more and more sugar. Then, of course, now it's industrialized. We don't really use so much cacao natural fats. We use artificial fats, cheaper fats. If you buy expensive chocolate, you're probably getting real chocolate. If you buy the cheaper chocolates, you're probably not getting real chocolate. Okay, so that has brought us from 1900 BC in South America to the current chocolate, the modern chocolate we can buy today. I told you that Africa produces the most chocolate in the world. Well, there are three or four countries, Cameroon, the Ivory Coast, that produce the most chocolate in the world. What country do you think eats the most chocolate? Well, America eats the most chocolate overall, purely because they have a large population. The country that eats the most chocolate per person is actually Switzerland. Swiss people eat approximately 10 kilograms of chocolate per year per person. It's incredible. I would love to eat that much chocolate. All right, so let's talk about a few problems involved in the chocolate industry to finish up with. I've talked about slavery, of course. Back in the 1900s, slavery in Africa was huge. Of course, slavery became illegal in the UK towards the end of the 19th century and in America a little bit later. So we stopped using those kind of slaves. However, there are still problems involved with chocolate. The first one, of course, is the percentage of the money that goes to the farmer. Large companies use their purchasing power to push down the price of chocolate beans, and the farmer himself doesn't get that much money. We talked about that with coffee. Fair trade is starting to change that, but there's a long way to go. Now, the second problem, this is particularly in the Ivory Coast, is child labor. A lot of cacao plantations, they use children to farm, harvest, and dry the beans. Why is that? Well, children are cheap and children are very easy to control. So a lot of the chocolate we buy these days has probably been grown and harvested by children. That is a huge problem, and we're still a long way from a solution for that. Another problem, of course, is deforestation and drought. The same with coffee. Cacao beans are not native to these countries, so they have to clear large amounts of forest to make the plantations. Then they have to redirect the rivers to irrigate these forests of cacao beans, these plantations, which of course, if you redirect a river, you cause droughts in other areas. Okay. Another problem, of course, is cavities and obesity. Chocolate, cacao itself, doesn't cause cavities or obesity. The sugar that is put into the chocolate is what causes the cavities. If you take an average Kit Kat, a 4-bar Kit Kat, you have 22 grams of sugar in there. If you take an average Snickers bar, you have 26 grams of sugar. And that sugar is what causes the cavities and what causes the obesity. So when people start blaming chocolate for the obesity epidemic, that's not the problem. Sugar is the problem. If you eat pure cacao, you're not going to get fat. Okay, so to finish, is chocolate healthy? Well, if you go into a regular supermarket and buy a regular bar of milk chocolate, no, it's not healthy. A lot of added sugar, a lot of added fat, very unhealthy. However, if you eat pure cacao, or these days you can get 95, 96, 97% cacao chocolate, if you eat that in moderation, yes, it might be healthy. You don't have so much added sugar. And also, cacao has something called flavanols. Flavanols are known to reduce blood pressure, to clean your heart, to reduce the risk of stroke. So if you eat almost pure chocolate a few times, maybe once or twice a week, it could be beneficial for your health. However, as with anything, imbalance. Okay, well, thanks for listening. Please go to my site to download the MP3 script and listening activities. It was good to talk to you. I'll talk to you next time. Okay, bye.